I had a great week this week. Lots of good things going on. And it's just fun. I always give the worship team, and I gave somebody a bad time this week. I always, you know, as we were walking out, we had some meetings and things going on, and I say, well, you know, if nothing better comes up, I'll see you Sunday. You know. And my comment is, what's better than being in church on Sunday? For me, nothing. I love the church. I love you guys. It's just great. I get to walk here. Man, that's a hard commute. You guys need to know. You know, Monday, Tuesday, I mean, just so you get an idea, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I kind of walk down here. I'm in the office for a couple of hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, I'm home working on my sermon and getting some other stuff done in the office at home. But I walk down here. But here's what I want you to know. You know, this morning when I walk out the door, right around 7:30, somewhere in that ballpark, no more driving the blue truck, which is nice. It sits in my driveway. I got to get rid of it. My wife sitting there said yes. But as I walk, I want to tell you something. I pray. It's calm. It's just me, and I'm just kind of strolling down the street. I just live right just over this side of the school. And I walk down here, and I spend some time just talking with God, praying for you guys. Let me give you a hint. Do not change seats. You need to sit in the same places, okay? Because that's how I can remember who to pray for. It's like, okay, you know, this Chris, and then the Sterners, and, you know, and it just goes over here, and then my wife's always over here, you know, and you guys kind of sit pretty much in the same place all the time, and it makes it easy to pray. But I do, as I walk down the street and I'm walking, I begin praying. I begin praying for you by name. And then I come down here and I open the back door and I open the front door of the church up and I walk out that front door and I begin 7 trips around the building. And there's nothing special about 7, although they did that around Jericho, so I just kind of take that as a symbol of kind of what I do. So I make 7 trips. And just to make sure I go all the way around the building, see, I walk 7 times around the building and I come here on my 7th time and then I start picking up the garbage. Because when I'm walking, I just pray the whole time. My mind's on prayer. Then I start picking up the garbage. And to make sure I go all the way around, I don't come back in until I get back over here. So I make sure I got 7 trips totally around. And one of my last trips is that God puts a wall and protects us. But then you need to know, you know what else happens? About 9:30 in the morning, some of us get here and have a little prayer time together. Just 30 minutes. Got a little list I got here in my back pocket. I'll take this home and pray over the list this week, and we spend a few minutes praying in the morning from about 9:30 to about 10 o'clock. We spend some time praying, and then after that, we come in here and start getting everything ready. We check on stuff. Linda and Ron's kind of got PowerPoint going. We're making sure everything's working right, and it's almost time to start. Guess what? The worship team meets over here and prays. Is prayer important? Is it important in your life? Do you ever struggle with it? Do you ever wonder, did God hear me? You know, you ever wonder, am I, you know, it never seems like I always get an answer. You ever struggle with prayer? And I know for me, one of the things I wanted when we built our church and one of my passions was I wanted a room that said prayer room on it. I wanted a room that said prayer room, and we got one. It says prayer room on it. And if you go in there, I put it in there this week. I'm going to strip it and stain it, or I'm going to get somebody else to strip it and stain it. I'm not going to mention Stan's name, but we're going to get somebody else to strip it and stain it. There's a kneeling bench in there. It's an altar. Anybody remember an altar? Anybody remember a kneeling altar? Anybody? It's a little box about so high that you come in and you kneel. I've been kneeling here in the church. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you kneel or you stand. I love that little video. I kind of want to get your thoughts on prayer already, even before we got started this morning. And I love the song about kneeling. Some of us, it's getting a little more harder or a little more difficult to kneel because it's harder to get up. You know, but prayer is important. It's part of what we do and it's part of who we are. And Jesus said it's important. Look at the scripture right here. Jesus really emphasized the importance of prayer. Look at what it says. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? There's a little background. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's another message in itself. But Jesus is saying, listen, the church is a house of prayer. It should be a place that people can come and pray. I loved it. It was amazing. You know, we kind of wondered, well, will people have spiritual desires? We had our little booth out here for the town and country fair. And we put a little box out there and little cards that says, how can we pray for you? Had several things they could check and then, you know, whatever they wanted to write. And we had like, I think there's like 20 of them. They're on my desk. I told you last week, I'm praying over those. People do want prayer. And prayer is important. Look at what Paul said. Paul said it this way. Pray without ceasing. pray without ceasing. See, prayer is something that needs to be part of who we are and part of what we do, but yet we struggle with it. We struggle with it. When do we pray, and what words do I use? Is there a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? And, well, if it's just talking to God, is that all it is, just talk to God? And, why is it sometimes my prayers aren't answered? And, but most of us pray. I mean, we pray over our meals. I'm sure most of us do stuff like that. And, or we hear of a situation, a family member, or there's a crisis, and we pray. I mean, right then, boom, we'll start praying. But do we have a nature of praying? And what I want to do in this series is I want us to look at Jesus on prayer. I mean, if we can find a better model than Jesus on prayer, show me, all right? And that's why it's called Red Letters. If you have, anybody have a Bible? Anybody got Bibles? Anybody here have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the hallway. Make sure you pick it up. We'll give it to you, all right? Yeah. And if you open your Bible up, many of the Bibles have what's called red letters. And the red letters are? They're the words of Jesus. So what I want to do in this series, just four quick messages on prayer from Jesus. And how did Jesus pray, and what did Jesus pray? I'm going to start with one that's probably the most famous one. Maybe some of you have repeated it. Maybe some of you memorized it. Maybe some of you use this every once in a while in your prayers. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It's the red words of Jesus. And what's interesting as we get into this, here's what I want you to know. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them. I've never had somebody come up and say, hey, Gary, teach me to pray. It's just never happened. But as a pastor, and we've done several things in our church. I mean, we've walked around Salida praying at the corners. Anybody remember that one? Some of the people walked on the inside. Some of us walked around the outside. We've had 24 hours of prayer. I like the 60-60. Remember the 60-60? Every 60 minutes, spend 60 seconds praying. Yeah, and it's important. So I want us to think about it. And here Jesus is teaching and Jesus is sharing. It's the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. In the midst of that, he has a prayer and he prays. And for some reason, whatever it was, I'm going to talk about that. Whatever it was, it caught the disciples' attention. And here's what I want you to think about. These are some good Jewish men. They were raised in the temple. They were good Jewish boys. They knew the prayers of the temple. They knew the prayers of the scriptures. They had that Old Testament. They were trained in it. They were equipped in it. And they knew those prayers. And yet when Jesus prayed and when Jesus spoke to them and when Jesus was teaching them, something happened in that prayer that they go, whoa. He prays different. He's praying different. What is it that compelled them to say, teach us to pray? Teach us to pray. I've shared with you the memories I have of my grandmother getting in the car and every time praying. Just get in the car, bow your head, you pray, then you drive down the hill. Every time. I remember seeing my grandmother up in Sacramento. And we'd go visit her. We was off in college. And we'd go by and see her, great Christian woman, really appreciate her. And we would we'd get ready to leave, and she would be saying, I'm praying for you. We'd pray before we left that my grandma Cunningham would sit there in the chair and say, I'm praying for you. You know how encouraging that was when you're off in college and to have your grandmother say words like that? But then it kind of just suddenly kind of get a turnaround there because my grandparents end up in a convalescent home. And their convalescent home up here on 99, and I'd be traveling up and down 99 doing business and doing various things. I'd always whip into the convalescent home, and pretty soon, guess what? My grandma wasn't telling me she's praying for me. I was telling my grandmother and my grandfather, I'm praying for them now. It had kind of turned. They had taught me something. And here Jesus is teaching. Here's these good Jewish boys who grew up in the synagogue. They knew how to pray, and yet when Jesus prayed, there was something different. And so I want to look at that prayer and maybe we can catch out. What was different about Jesus' prayer? I remember there was a man here that came to church years and years ago. Some of you might remember him that's been here for a long time. His name was Ward Elsie. Anybody remember the man named Ward Elsie? Ward Elsie came in. For some reason, I don't know what it was, but that man, when he prayed, it was just different. I never could. He was an elderly man, had been involved in God's work up and down the state. Him and his wife were wonderful. Maria, his wife, they were wonderful Christian people. And I appreciate the impact they had on my wife. They invited us over with our kids and really encouraged Laura and I. But when he prayed, it was just, there was something about his prayers. I still don't know why. But there was something. But here's Jesus. And so I want to look at this, and let's see if we can find something here for us. Something that can encourage us, that can inspire us, that can give us confidence in our prayer. See, I want to have confidence when I pray that God's heard me, that God knows and that he's heard and that he cares and that he's going to respond. I want to have that confidence. Jesus had it. Can we have that? You know, can I have that confidence that when I pray, God has heard me and he's answering? Look at this Sermon on the Mount. In the middle of that, it's the Lord's Prayer. We're going to kind of back up a few verses to kind of set it in context, and let's see what he has to say here. He goes like this. And when you pray, I'll stop right there. I can't even get through two words. When, he assumes you're going to pray. Can I assume that? Can I assume all of you pray? Maybe at a meal, maybe in a crisis, hopefully every morning, hopefully every night, hopefully at every meal. Do you pray? That's an assumption God makes, that we talk with him, that we spend time with him, that we pray. So Jesus began that, and when you do it. Not if you do it, but when you do it. Didn't give us the time. You know, there's, as you read the Bible, it's not going to tell. Do it in the morning, do it at night. I like Paul, do it without ceasing. I like that one. Yeah. That when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Now, I don't think we have to worry about that, because there's no hypocrites here. Is there any hypocrites here? Well, besides me, anybody else? Yeah. You know, we don't have any hypocrites today in God's church. They just don't exist. So we don't have to worry about, well, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you stand on the corner praying, they're going to think you're whacked, okay? They're going to think you're weird. You know, if you're out there, you know, like the guy up there, oh, Heavenly Father. Yeah, they're going to go, man, call the paddy wagon. Yeah. But they like to make a show of their prayers. They wanted everybody to see. You read the scripture, you can see another guy happens if you read the word. Read it. Encourage you there. You know, there was a guy, these two guys came to church. If you remember the story, these two guys come into church. One is a Pharisee, which he's talking about here, good Jewish individuals, religious leaders of their day. These two Jewish people come to church, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. Anybody remember the story? The Pharisee stood there, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this sinner over here. And the sinner's over there, that tax collector, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. See, put the scripture together. You know, it really fits together nice if you read it. You know? Standing and making a show. Prayer isn't about a show. Look at what he says here. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, why don't you circle that? We're going to come back to that later. Did you know there's a reward to prayer? Whoa. There's a reward to prayer, and I think it's more than answers, all right? I'll just give you a hint. I'll come back to this, but I think it's more than just an answer to our prayers when he says there's a reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. But when you pray, now, I thought this was real interesting because those days, they had one-room houses. So it's like, what are you saying? You go home and pray? I mean, because they had one-room houses. It wasn't like, well, I got a three-bedroom home with two baths and, you know, or seven, I don't know how big your homes are, you know, and it's got all the, they had a one-bedroom house. And Jesus says, when you pray, go to your home. Go find a secret, secluded, isolated place to pray. Find a quiet place to pray. It's not about show. It's not about showing everybody, being an example. It's about finding a place, a room, and isolating yourself and shutting yourself down, just you and God in this room praying. That's what prayer is. Just you and God in secret. Find a secret place to pray. A place where you can go and be alone with God and you can spend time with God. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, I think this is a great teaching here and a great example for us. You know, we'll pray. I go to Taco Bell and I'll sit there. We were at In-N-Out Burger last night and we prayed over a hamburger, right? You know, and we pray. We go to Denny's restaurant on our, you know, the second or third Saturday, you know, and we sat there. And what do? We have a little devotional and we pray. You know, we pray. It's part of our habit, a crisis. We'll pray at work. We'll pray when our finances are in trouble. We'll pray when the ATM machine doesn't work, when the checkbook's messed up, when we got a test at school the next day. God, help me. You know, we pray. And here he's saying, listen, find that secret place. Here, let me ask you this. What would you feel like when you think that God sees you praying? Think about that. Not only does he hear you, but he sees you. That God sees you in that quiet place. That God's eyes are set upon you, and he sees you when you pray. Can that give confidence in prayer? Can that inspire in prayer to know that when I'm alone and I'm spending time with God, that he is looking on me? His attention is on me. His desires are on me. He sees us when we pray. Think about that. Encouraging and inspiring that in that quiet place that God sees us when we pray. He says, don't be like these Pharisees who want to make it a show. Oh, Lord. But find that place where you can get alone, and though nobody else can see you, that nobody else knows what you're doing, that nobody else is aware of what's happening, but you're in this place, just you and God is sitting there looking on you. Think about that when you pray, that God sees you. See, and what's interesting, here Jesus is kind of talking to these Pharisees who want to make a show of their religion. These are the religious people. And they want to make a show of their religion. And so they're out there so everybody sees them praying. And they're making a big show of their prayers. And he tells them, listen, it's not that show that counts. It's what God sees in the secret places of our lives. See, it's what God sees in the midst of our heart in those quiet times. Don't be like these Pharisees. But it doesn't just talk about the Pharisees. Look at this next passage. I thought this was great. And when you pray, do not, again, assuming you pray, when you pray, we're going to pray. Do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do. I love this. Jesus going, okay, you got these religious people over here who are praying for a show. Woo, look at me. Oh, God. And they're praying for a show. Then you got the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles are anybody that's not a Christian, all right? Anybody that's not a Jew. I got that mixed up. Not just a Christian, not a Jew. They're the Gentiles. They're over here. And here's their prayers. A ton of papers. Look at what it says. All these empty words do they, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. If I just keep talking long enough, God will finally hear me. If I just keep going over it and over it and over it, I'll wear God down and he'll finally give me what I want. If I just lay out this great argument and I just lay out this great plan here, I could convince God to go my way. That's kind of that's what this other side is doing over here. You know, you got the religious people and you got these others over here. It's just got to get the right words. If you got the right words and you just get a lot of the right words. You know, I remember taking tests at seminary when I was working on my master's. And there would be a test on there. And I tell you, when you're in school, after when you first start school, you like the fill in the box, you know, on those skeets, A, B, C, D, what's the answer? But then you get teachers that are tricky, you know, and they have a question like this, what is the best? And it's like, well, there's two right. Best is his opinion, not mine. You know, I've had that, you know, and it's like, I've had teachers, technically you're right, I like essays. And I've sat down and took an essay test. I remember taking this essay test in mission class. And there's a question there that I had no idea how to answer. I had no answer. Zip, zilch, nothing. But you know what? I wrote more for that one question than I wrote any other questions I wrote. I just kept writing. I just wrote everything I could think of in that question. I got half credit for it. I didn't know, I couldn't answer it. I had no answer, so I just figured I'd just keep writing. I don't know, anybody else do anything like that besides me? When you get an essay test, it's like, I don't know, but I'm just going to keep writing something down. Yeah. I think sometimes we treat God that way. You know, I don't know God, but I'm just going to try to convince you. Well, God, I'm going to try to inform you. God, I'm going to try to show you. And we just keep on and on and on and on and go over it again and again and again, trying to get God to buy into our plan. Anybody? Trying to get God to join us on our side over here. Trying to say, you know, God, this is what we need to do. But I like what he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. Think about that. God knows. Here's what I liked about this, right? We haven't got into the prayer yet. Haven't got into Jesus' teaching on prayer. But I like what he's saying. He says, look at this. Don't be like the Pharisees. God sees. God sees. He sees you when you pray. He sees you in your life. He sees that circumstance. He sees those situations. He sees your heart. He sees you. Not only does he see you, over here he says, guess what? Guess what? God knows you. Before you even ask, God knows. I thought this is awesome. Jesus in their teaching on prayer is saying, listen, God is watching you pray and he knows. Doesn't that say a lot about our prayers? He hasn't even got to the teaching part of it yet. And I just love the way he's saying this, that God sees us. It's not about, well, if I just have enough faith, just enough faith, I can move this mountain. If I just have this great argument, I can convince God. I can show God why I'm right and why he needs to do this. And what this is saying is, wait a minute. God sees and God knows. God is a great big God. You know what? I'm going to tell you. Would you want a God that you can convince to go your way? Do you really? Would you really want a God that's so small that you can argue him into the way you think? Have you ever prayed for something and you didn't get it and you're thankful you didn't? You ever, you know, God, I, and then down the road you look at, why didn't God? And then down the road you're going, boy, God, I'm glad you didn't listen to that prayer. Anybody? I mean, you know, it's like God sees and God knows and he's so big and yet we treat him like he's so small. I think sometimes we treat God like he's in this little box. And here Jesus is teaching on prayer and he hadn't even got to the words yet. And he's saying, listen, God sees you when you pray. He sees you when you're on your knees. He sees you when you're standing. He sees you when you're in bed. He sees you when you're at your dinner table. He sees you. He sees those circumstances. He sees those situations. He sees those heartaches. He sees those desires in your heart. He sees those dreams. But not only does he see, he knows. He knows what you need. He knows how to move. He knows where you're at. He knows. See, I see Jesus sitting here. And now I can kind of step back and I can say, man, I can see why the disciples caught him. There was something about Jesus when he prayed that said Jesus, that God is watching him. And God is listening to him. And God already knows what he's going to do. And he knows that God knows that when Jesus prayed, he knew that God knew. And he knew that God was going to do something because God had seen and God had known before he even asked. See, I see Jesus teaching this great message here about prayer. And then he finally moves into the prayer. He finally starts getting ready to kind of let things go. And he starts like this as he looks at the prayer. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus is sitting here saying, listen, when you pray, stop right here. Pause a minute and look at God. Now, most of us, if you're like me, God, and I go off to pray. Here he's saying, God, he's his Father. There's this relationship. He's my Father. Hopefully you've had a wonderful father. Hopefully you had a wonderful father that raised you and encouraged you and inspired you. Now, I had a great father, but I also had a father that was a disciplinarian, all right? I mean, you, whatever you want to get spanking with, I've been hit with it, all right? He did the best he could. He knew no better, you know? But I can tell you one thing. I knew my dad loved me. He might have had a hard way of showing it, but I know he loves me. And I've told him that, you know? And that's what I see this picture. He's saying, you know, he's your Father. There's this intimate, close relationship. I see a contrast here. He says, he's my Father, but he's my Father in heaven. He's close, but he's bigger than being close. He's bigger than sitting right here next to me. He's the omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God. See, I see him saying, listen, step back and think when you're praying to a God who is the creator of this universe, who took nothing, zip, zilch, nothing, and made everything we see today. He created. It's saying, stop and realize in your prayer, you are talking to God. How many of us get nervous talking to political leaders? If I could say, President Obama is going to be here in a short while. He's going to walk down now. You guys all get a chance to talk to him. You're going to go, I don't know what to say. Yeah. Think about that. You're walking into somebody who's bigger than President Obama, all right? Here's God. He's walking in, and he's in that prayer. He sees, he knows, and you're talking to the Almighty, the God, the Creator, who loves you. He's your Father. See, I think in our prayers, we just go over that first word real quick. Father, and then we start our prayers. We don't pause and think about who God is. And that when I'm talking to him, he's my Father. He cares for me. He wants the best for me. Yeah, there might be discipline and all that in it, but he really wants me to be the best and to achieve the best. And he has dreams for my life, just like I have dreams for my life. He's my Father. But he's in heaven watching over me, and he sees and he knows. And he's holy. He's different than me. He's not like me. You know, I've got flaws. I've got little sins, okay? Let's say it that way. Some of you know me, you're laughing because you know sometimes there can be a little larger than little. You know, we have sin in our life, and here's this holy God that says, I love you and I care for you. Yes, you're a sinner, but I'm here to hear what you have to say. You've come into my presence, and I'm going to listen to you. I see you, and I hear you, and I know you. I love that song we sing here sometimes that goes, He knows my name. I love that song. Sometimes I'll sit there, and tears come because He knows my name. See, Jesus is sitting there, and I'm wondering, is this kind of what started the disciples going, look, there's something different. He's talking to God, who's his Father, the Creator. He recognizes his power. He recognizes who he is. See, pause when you recognize who God is. I think we go really quickly over this. And this next part we're going to look at, most of us skip, all right? This next part of this prayer, we blow right past this one, all right? Most of us, just so you know me, I tack this part onto the end. This sermon made me think about how I pray. You need to know that. This sermon made me think about how I pray, because this next part, I tack onto the end. Jesus had it on the top. First thing, right off the top. Look at what it says. Oh, well, let me say, prayer begins with God, not us. Thank you. I didn't have that there. Boy, I got to tell you guys, prayer begins with God, not us. You could have figured that out for yourself, couldn't you? It's not about us. It starts with God. It starts with God. Now, look at what it says here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, most of us, if you're like me, I'm going to include myself right now. I'm serious. This is me. Most of us, it's like, God, thank you for this day. But I need strength, I need wisdom, I need money, honey, I need. Most of us, you know, right in, God, I need. Jesus, God, you're my Father, you see, you know, and now before I even start praying, God, I want your will done. That says something. See, most of us, I'm going to tell you something. I have a kingdom. All right? I have a kingdom. You know? And Gary's little kingdom works really well when everything goes Gary's way. Ask Laura. She can tell you. As long as my kingdom goes my way, boop, things are great. When I got problems in my kingdom, things don't go well. Because see, you know what? If everybody would just do it my way, and if God and I got it all figured out, we've got it all here. God and I've got it all here. And if everybody would just do it my way, man, the world would be so much better off. Anybody? You know, some of you are queens, all right? You got a queendom. All right? You know, we got it all figured out. We got it all worked out. All we got to do is, God, don't you agree with me? It's common sense, God. It makes sense. I don't know what everybody else is thinking. They're just not as smart as I am. They just haven't learned it yet. God, I've got it all worked out. If they would just listen to me, you know, those kids in my house, you know, that wife of mine, you know, that husband, if they would just listen to me, it would be so much better. And then our kingdom gets messed up and we go to God, God, fix my kingdom. And God sits there and says, wait, why not do my kingdom first? Whoa, this was something new to me. I don't know about you guys, but this is, it was like, whoa, I got to change the way I pray. Because just so you know, when I prayed, here's what I usually prayed, you know, God, da, 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 da. Then at the end of my prayer, I would do something like this, not my will, God, but yours be done. That's how I'd kind of close it. Jesus says, Gary, you're doing it wrong. I learned something with this. You know, it's good when you learn something, even to preachers. You know, preachers can learn. And he's sitting there, listen, we got our little kingdoms going, and we think we get it all worked out, and we got our little kingdom going. And Jesus is sitting there saying, wait a minute. Why don't you align your kingdom with God instead of trying to get God to align with your kingdom? I think that's something there. I think there's something about that. I think maybe as I read the sermon and I read this over and over and I looked at this over and over, I think maybe this is what caught the disciples' attention. That most of us, and I'm going to include me, you need to know I'm talking to me, most of us and our prayers is about our kingdom. I got a problem in my finances kingdom. Help me, Lord. I got a problem in my kids' kingdom, right? I got some rotten, stinking kids. Lord, my kids are good, though. You know, when they were little, they were rotten. As they grew up, they got better. Anybody know that one? Come on. Yeah. I got kids in my kingdom, Lord, that just won't listen to me. Yeah. God, I got my work kingdom, and man, You know, we get our little kingdoms, and we want to say, God, fix my kingdom. How much easier would it be for us to get in God's kingdom and then let him do all the work? See, I really started thinking about what he's saying here. You know, what about that relationship kingdom or that marriage kingdom or, you know, our school kingdom when you're in school? You got these little kingdoms going on. And before we do anything, Jesus says, listen, put your kingdom aside and surrender to my kingdom. Put your kingdom aside and start looking at things my way, looking at how I live. And I started wondering, is this what they see? You know, we get our kingdom and we get all messed up and we try to figure out what's going on and how it works and why. And I want to challenge us this morning, and this is a big teaching for me in this message this morning was, you know what? It's not about me. It's all about him. And it's not about fixing my kingdom so it runs smooth and my little kingdom looks good, but it's about me being surrendered to his kingdom and to what God is doing and to where God is working and being a part of God's kingdom. You know, as I read this, I'm sitting there going, you know what? What kind of confidence can that give in our prayers? You know, this isn't praying that heaven comes down, that Jesus comes back someday. This is praying about today. You know, when I read this, I don't know about you, I used to read this, and I used to always say, this is about Jesus coming back again. Anybody else read it like that? That's how I most of the time read this. But as I begin to look at this and you see this, it's like, wait a minute. He's not talking about something future. He's talking about today. How much better could your life be if you were walking in the kingdom of God? How much easier? How much more blessed could our lives be if we're walking in the kingdom of God? See, I think that's a challenge. And so here's the way I put it, if you look at your outline, I put it this way. Prayer is about surrendering our will, not imposing it. Prayer is about surrendering our will, not imposing it. And I think this is where most people get messed up. Because we have our little world. And you know what? I am smart. I've got it all figured out. Yeah. Anybody ever have those questions? Anybody here married? Anybody? You ever have those questions? You get it all figured out and you go to tell your spouse and they just don't get it? You know, it's like, come on, it's common sense. It's all worked out here. It's all figured out. You know, I got the kingdom, man. It's my kingdom. I'm the king. I'm the queen. I'm not the queen. You can be. Yeah. And I've got it all worked out. How much better is God's kingdom than ours? whose will is going to be done anyway? See, he knows and he sees, and it's God's kingdom. Do you really want a God who's so small you can control him? God, I know you're over here, but my kingdom over here. See, we have a will. This is why I grew up, and we always talk about asking Jesus into your heart to become a Christian. You've heard that, you got to invite Jesus into your heart. That's what I grew up hearing. I've been a Christian for a while now, and I look back on that, and I'm not quite sure that's right unless you say your heart is your will. Because I really believe a Christian is someone who's reached a point in their life where they said something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way, my will. God, I want to do it your way, your kingdom. Does that make sense? Are you seeking God's kingdom? That can give you confidence in your prayers. He knows, he sees, he's your Father. God, let your kingdom. And then when all that's done, guess what? Then you can go there with all those prayer requests. He wants to hear them. Look at what it says. I mean, he just goes right into it. Give us. I mean, he goes, bang, bang, give us. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily, provide for me my daily necessities, my daily needs, those things, that food, that roof, that clothes on my back. God, provide for me the things I need. And you know, we live in America, and it's so easy. I mean, you go to Kohl's and you get things really cheap, right? Come on. At least I know they get a lot of my money. Yeah. You can go to Kohl's and you can shop and you get that 30% discount. Anybody? Come on. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, and you know, most of us, anybody here have a refrigerator? Anybody got a refrigerator in your home? Anybody? Oh, man, some of you guys, I need to pray for you guys. You don't even have, you got an ice chest? We, you know, most of us don't have to worry about where our food's going to come from tomorrow or later today. These people had to worry. You know, you worked, you went home, you got food. It's kind of like the wilderness and the Exodus. Remember, what did God tell them? Collect enough food for the week, right? Go out, get enough food for the week. Don't have to worry about it the rest of the week. No, they had to get up every day and collect. They had to live day to day. And we need to understand God is our provider every day. We might have a refrigerator full of food and a clothes closet packed full and a nice roof over our head. But I'm going to tell you what, God is our provider. Things can change. You ask some people up in the mountains right now in the midst of that fire if things can't change overnight. See, God is our provider, and we can ask. And that's what he says, ask. He knows, he sees, ask. You're not informing him. It's like, God, just in case you didn't know, I need. God, you might have missed this, God. I mean, I know there's a lot going on right now, but maybe you missed this, but I have to have. You don't have to inform God. You don't have to convince God. He knows, he sees. But I think it's our acknowledgement of it. He goes on and says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We need to pray. Why don't you circle a couple words? You need to forgive and you need to circle that word us. You got to pray for your forgiveness. You got to pray for the forgiveness of others. You got to not only pray for God, forgive me. God, forgive us. And then God, help me forgive them. That's a hard one. Because, I mean, look at what it says here. And lead us not into temptation. I'm going to come back to that, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We try to water that down and try to make excuses. Well, because if you don't do it, you really can't receive it. And da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to tell you, it's flat out what it says. If you cannot forgive, you will not be forgiven. Period. I want you to think about that. If you have odd against somebody, it's not about emotion. It's not about, well, I don't care. I don't know. You need to know. I don't know how some people can do it. I remember a pastor up in Sacramento, some drunk driver ran a stop sign, rented his car and killed his son. That pastor that evening was in the jail praying with that man that killed his son. I don't know if I could do that. I really don't know. If I was in the jail, I probably wouldn't be praying for him. My hands might be around his neck, all right? I'd have to really pray. I don't know. But according to this, I have to do that. I don't know how to do that. I'd be praying, God, your will. That's where I guess that first part comes in really big for me. I'd be praying, God, I'm surrendering to your will. I don't understand this. But I've never forgot that. Great pastor. I admire the man today. I still know who he is. He's been in our church, taught a conference for us and everything. But I've never forgot that. I watched a lady on the news just the other day, and she was saying somebody had did something, and I forget what it was. I can't remember. It was a newscast. And she was going, he apologized. Heartfelt apology. It looked like a heartfelt apology. I can't judge the person. I'm not going to. You know, but she's going, I never will forgive him. And I thought, how sad. Because she's going to be a prisoner of those feelings. But not only that, she's not only going to be a prisoner, but how can God forgive her? Because it says he won't. Don't ask me to explain it. I'm just warning you, all right? If you got odd against somebody, you better get it right. Because it ain't going to last. But here's that. So you got to forgive. But then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Do you not only pray for forgiveness, but don't want to sin? That's a big question. You know, we have this thing called, there's this thing called a confession. Anybody heard of a thing called a confessional? You know, you go out, you do your thing during the week, and then you go into this confessional, and God, he doesn't understand that. I'm going to tell you something. You can't act one way on Sunday and try to be somebody else on Monday. If you're trying that, it ain't going to work. That's what this is saying. It don't work. You got to be the same today, tomorrow, and the next day. It says God's that way. He's the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. You know, I'm going to tell you, when he's saying not only do we need to pray for our forgiveness now, but we need to pray that we don't sin anymore. Have you ever prayed that? God, I don't want to do this anymore. There's pornography out there. There's guys trapped in the prison of pornography. I've seen people trapped in the prison of drugs. Prescription medication. I've seen people trapped in prisoners of prescription medication. I've seen this. Do you not want to? I think this is really important. God, protect me. You can't go out and say, I'm this and do this. And so if you look at paper, I put it this way. Prayer acknowledges our dependency on God. Prayer acknowledges our dependency on God. And I got to have P's, all right? Three P's. You got to be a preacher. You got to have all the same letter. How about your provisions? Your pardon, and your protection. You can pray for your provisions, your pardon, and your protection. You pray for all this stuff, but you begin in a silent, solitude, isolated, quiet place where God sees and he knows God is watching you. And in the presence of an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God who created this beautiful world that we live in. And you acknowledge his will in your life. Not my will, but thine be done. And then you say, okay, God. In perspective of all that, God, here's my needs. Because when you're in God's will, he's going to take care of you. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture. I have a hard time because some of these preachers today, and I see it on TV, well, if you just have enough faith, God didn't answer because you didn't have enough faith. You didn't pray the right words. You didn't have the little secret saying. It doesn't work. Yeah. I have a hard time with this prosperity gospel. You know what? If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I strike out on all three of them. All right? I mean, I don't know about you. I work. Some of you say, I just work one day a week, a couple of hours today, and I'm done. That's good. I like that. Yeah. I work hard. How come I can't be blessed like those? Yeah. Why do I have to work so hard? I was talking to my son yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, in the service and all this, and why should he work so hard, and he's got these others here that hardly do anything, and they're getting the same pay as he gets. It ain't fair, he's saying. Life's not fair. Get over it, all right? It's not about that prosperity. And I sit back and I look, well, look at Jesus. Jesus didn't even have a house. Didn't even have a place to lay his head. You know, and we're supposed to be like Jesus. How many want to be like that? I'm glad I got a house and a car. You know? See, are we willing to surrender our will to God? Let me give you another idea. How long should you pray? Anybody? I'll give you an idea how long to pray. Let me give you a little hint here. pray as long as it takes you to surrender your will to God's will. That could be 20 seconds. You know what? Jesus prayed 20 seconds one time, and a great miracle happened. Lazarus had died. His best friend died. He croaked in a tomb, dead. Jesus walks up and says, "Hey, get out of there." And he comes out. 20 seconds. Jesus facing the cross. He's going to die on the cross. He went to the garden. How long did he pray then? Anybody? Anybody got an idea? How long did he pray? All night. You pray until your will is surrendered to God's will. That's how long to pray. If it takes you all day, then pray all day. Whatever the situation, marriage, money, school, work, kids, relationship, I don't know. But you pray until you're in the middle of God's will. I put it this way, so I want to make it really easy. We know we have the TSA, right? Anybody, the transportation people? I got the DSA. Declare God's greatness, surrender your will to His, and acknowledge your dependency on Him. To help you memorize that, don't start off asking. You look at the top, she'll push the button in a minute and you'll see it. Don't start off asking. Most of us, God, I need. Jesus, and I think this is what caught their attention. God, you're the creator. You know, you see. You're the mighty God. And I want my will to be your will. And God, in the midst of that, I have these needs. I have these burdens. I have these concerns. I think Jesus taught us to pray. Yeah, it's simply talking to God, but it's surrendering our will to His. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths, that you are a God who knows and a God who sees. And Lord, I know in the midst of this group here this morning that there are some with heavy burdens and hearts that ache. There may be financial struggles. There may be problems at school. There may be disturbances in the home, work. I don't know where it's at, Lord, but you know. And now you see them in this place. You see their hearts. You see their aches. You see their pains. You see their joys. I ask you to touch their hearts. Lord, as we surrender our will to you, as we let our kingdoms go and line up with your kingdom, Lord, you be our provider. You be our protector. And you give us the pardon. Because you are God who knows and sees. And it's in your Son's name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.